Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge. In this episode, we're going to delve deeper into software-defined networking. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Doug, welcome as always.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So let me start with a little context for our discussion today. We've talked about in earlier shows, by the way, which can be found at federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware. Software-defined networking provides virtualized storage, server networking, and security resources that are defined by software and provisioned automatically. So software-defined, that's the basic definition. Now, Doug, you're going to put a much finer point on this definition in a minute or so, but let's get into what it is, how it works. So a recent survey from VMware and Meritalk finds 66% of the 152 federal IT managers who responded say software-defined networking will lead to innovation. 53% say it will reduce costs, and 41% say that it will improve performance. So as you can tell just by this survey alone, agencies are already starting to put some expectations around what I'll call a fairly new concept. Now, Doug, you may disagree on that. You may say, well, it's actually been around for a long time. It's just we have another name for it, very similar to the old cloud versus managed services versus the ASPs, right? So there are three pieces to software-defined concept: data center, network, and storage. All three have a great potential to help agencies move out of their legacy systems that is costing them billions to maintain and move into a more agile, flexible environment. So with that context in place, let's move back to Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Doug, let's start at the beginning. Software-defined, I gave a really high-level definition, put a finer point on it. What is it? How does it work? Move into each of those areas, storage, data center, networking.
A really deep question right off the bat. Software-defined really is a concept that has been in the market, in our view, for at least a dozen years, you know, somewhere around 12 to 15 years. And it's basically got its start at the server layer with virtualization. So the virtualization technology enabled an abstraction, a separation of virtual servers from the physical. And then that created the ability to do some cool things with software. And then hence this concept of software defined, at least at the server layer, came into the market. And that was the ability to use policies to automate a combination of daily sort of routine maintenance, care, and feeding activities, again, at this case, at the server level, but then also to automate some more advanced, like disaster recovery features, high availability, even migration of workloads across server environments within the data center, and then eventually across data centers. And so taking that concept of using automation to automatically create and carry out daily operations activities and also provisioning. And then now what software defined has become is taken that same concept and moved it from the server level to the storage level and the network level, Jason, as you mentioned. And now those three significant substantial components of the data center, servers, storage, and networks, now becoming virtualized, this capability of software defined now applies to the entire data center. And so the potential benefits become magnified.
Now, for years, we've talked about data centers and we've talked about how to ensure your data centers are updated, patched, the care and feeding, as you talk about it. From your sense, how is software defined different today than maybe what they're doing or have been doing within the federal government for the last few decades?
In a couple of ways that are quite significant. First, the software defined historically up to this point has been, as I mentioned before, confined to the compute layer or the server layer of the infrastructure only. And that, while it has substantial benefits, for example, the automated provisioning capability. So, you know, when an end user, call it a project, call it a software developer, whoever it is from a use case standpoint, wants to do something, they can go into the software-defined compute layer and get a new server or a set of servers provisioned for them in a matter of minutes, right? So that's great. So before software-defined networking and software-defined storage, in order to use that server, they would then have to go through another, you know, part of the organization and get some security services attached to it. Maybe even some firewalls stood up and connected. Maybe some, you know, they want to attach to the network, so they've got to go through some things there. Oh, you have some data that you want to work and use with the server? You have to, you know, go ahead and assign the right storage components and the right databases and all that sort of thing, right? And those activities carried out in the organization, as I mentioned, cross multiple silos of the organization, multiple people involved, and it's manually based from a process standpoint. So while the server was created in a matter of minutes, the actual ability to robustly use that as part of a project or part of a solution to a problem would still take days, sometimes weeks, and in the worst case, months, as these people who are involved have other priorities.
And that's the theory behind the agility, the flexibility that Software Defined seems to be bringing to this new environment.
It is exactly. It is solving a major barrier to agility and rapid cycle time. I call it rapid time to mission value, right? So it's the ability now for this software-defined technology capability to be brought to the data center so that not only does the server happen very quickly, but the network services happen quickly, all the security parameters happen quickly, the storage happens quickly, and now there is a complete service that is available with all of its necessary components from the application software to the operating system to the database to the web server to all these components that are now automatically created, provisioned, and connected, and now the developer, the project team, whoever it is, the operator can use it to perform or carry out a mission. Maybe it's scaling a mission-based application that's in use right now that needs more capacity and more capability to carry out some activity that's happening, and it can now happen at real time.
All right, Doug, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk whether this is a revolution or an evolution. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic is delving deeper into the concept of software defined.
Discover virtualization best practices on storage, networking, performance, and security with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Now, Doug, before we break, we were kind of defining what software defined this concept is: data center, storage, and networking. Interestingly, there was a recent article in Computer World that quotes software defined as saying it's an evolution but not a revolution. In fact, there was another item by a recent blogger, also in Computer World, saying that SDN, software-defined networking, is a major technical innovation. There's these two different opinions out there. What's your take? I mean, do you see this as an evolution of cloud, evolution of virtualization, or is it a major technical innovation, or a little bit of both?
I think it's some of both, although when you look at it in terms of the entire scope of what's out there in the technology environment and ecosystem today, there's no question that it is much more so an evolution than it is a revolution. And that is because these technologies, while they have substantial benefits in cost savings and in speed to carry out services for, in this case, for the mission of government, generally speaking, most of the resources are already in place. In other words, legacy, right? So evolving a legacy to utilize these capabilities from a legacy environment or legacy system is going to take some time and some phasing and some gradual evolution. But for new projects and new development efforts, those can jump right in and begin to utilize the entire software-defined data center capabilities. But we also know that new starts, new projects, are very few in terms of the overall IT spend of the enterprise, in this case, the government. Less than 10% of the total IT spend is new starts. So that portion of funding that is doing something new, is doing something innovative from a new service, new capability, new application perspective, can absolutely revolutionize and take advantage of these capabilities, from the start. However, for everything else, there's a definitely phasing and a gradual evolution that needs to occur.
Let me tag back to one of the things you said. Current technology in place could migrate to this idea of software defined. How is that possible? Because I think one of the things, and you brought this up, 10% of all total spend is new. So everybody in the federal government is spending a lot of money, billions, on maintaining legacy systems. But if they can move those legacy systems to this kind of new, more agile, new flexible concept, how is that done?
So generally speaking, investments in the software associated with the software defined, in other words, the infrastructure software, the management software, the virtualization, the capability, will allow, again, it's an abstraction, it's a separation of the software layer from the physical layer, from the underlying physical, in this case, network, storage, or servers. So by abstracting the software from the hardware, it enables the gradual commoditization of the hardware layer over time. And that has not yet happened yet, for example, with the network. But there's going to be some of that that occurs as the value-added software-based activities that are built into the hardware layer today are gradually going to be pushed up to the software-defined layer. And then the hardware layer will, as I said, become much more focused on rapid performance, throughput, and those sorts of things. And so the investment in the software-defined capabilities can separate the investment track of the physical from the software so that next time it comes time to refresh the hardware, then you can replace that hardware even though you've already made substantial progress with the software layer on top of it. Again, because of the abstraction that occurs and does that separation.
Okay, so in many ways, I mean, there's a multi-phased approach and each phase can build upon the next phase. And then until it may take 3, 5, 7 years, but eventually you could get there.
There's three major phases for this kind of transition. The first is consolidation. The second is automation. And as you might expect, you know, consolidation, generally speaking, is a little bit more simple to execute than automating something that's been manual for years and years and years, and even automated provisioning of new services, as I described earlier, when you're talking about network and storage and server and application services all happening at the same time. Imagine an orchestration of multiple components coming together at the same time. It's complicated, it takes a little time. So the first phase being consolidation, the second phase being automation, and then the third phase really being, I call it an optimization, but it's a brokering. The third phase is a much more mature bringing together the software defined to really optimize the entire data center, private cloud, the virtual private cloud, which might be off-premises but still dedicated to your agency, and even the public cloud, and tying all those components together in a way that it appears to be a single environment, a single software-defined data center environment for the enterprise. That's, you know, the later stage, more mature use of what the technology can offer.
Now, at the same time that you were speaking very positively about this, and another recent article that I found in Forbes that I thought the headline was good, you know, is software-defined a sucker's bet? So that's obviously one opinion of one analyst. So let's get into more specifically, why should agencies consider this approach? But what are the benefits that maybe, you know, this person or others maybe is not so obvious to?
That particular article in the approach, I would argue, is just a little bit too narrowly focused from this vantage point. Is sure, you can look at a particular piece of investment and say, well, you know, the cost structure of that piece is going to change over time. But you really have to look at the big picture of what this capability is bringing to the organization that adopts it. And I'll use this analogy. In the federal government, which, as we all know, has substantial budget pressures and challenges ongoing at this point, it's become the new way of doing business. If we're going to focus on reducing the IT budget of the federal government, we're looking at about 4% of the total government's spend. So if we're going to look at it from a broader perspective and say, how can we leverage technology to lower the overall cost of government? Now we're getting into the other 96% of the budget. How do we deploy technology to solve bigger picture problems? And so I would say that looking at the capabilities and the value proposition of software defined, it enables a next generation approach to innovation that we should all be really excited about. It allows organizations to leverage best practice now, like fail fast and fail forward. This very, very low cost, rapid software-based prototyping of new ideas and new capabilities that we all know are a best practice based on the way commercial sector has been doing things for years. The technology now just enables that to happen. Another is to really focus on the end game. We've talked a lot. Everybody knows, it's very well documented, of the gap between IT and the mission, or IT and the business, and how the IT folks don't understand the business and vice versa. Well, as you pointed out earlier in the Merit Talk study, that there's a lot of activity going on in the government from an IT standpoint to maintain and operate existing systems. Software defined frees up those resources by automating a lot of those activities so that they can focus more on the business. And then finally, the third tie-in between software defined and innovation is simply fast cycling everything. We talk about return on investment. There's much more return on a technology investment when it actually brings that value faster when it brings value to the mission, you know, in 2 months versus 2 years, that, you know, that 22 months of difference, the agency is accruing benefits, right? And so the actual sum of the return on that investment is higher. So there's actually better, and it's not just a financial benefit, it's actually the benefits to the mission as well. So there's multiple ways that software defined really advances the potential for innovation across the enterprise.
We hear a lot about innovation within the federal community. Is there maybe an example that comes to mind that you can say, hey, a client of yours used this type of approach, they were able to do something faster, better, cheaper?
I'm going to go to the private sector for a minute on this one. And this is a very widely recognized national financial institution, right, that has fully embraced this software-defined technology to drive the mission forward. And some of their value proposition results that have been shared publicly are somewhere around the order of $1.2 to $1.4 billion of cost reduction out of the infrastructure, somewhere in the magnitude of a 40% improvement in the resiliency of their mission critical applications, and a 50% reduction in the time that it takes to develop and deploy new applications for the business. And so if we can take that, I mean, we've got, you know, considerable cost savings, we've got performance enhancement, and now we've got, you know, innovation speed, you know, the cycle time to innovation, all being enhanced by this software-defined capability in the data center. And so that is a leading example that is going to become best practice, I think, across the entire industry.
All right, I think that's a great example because it gives the idea that there's real value being brought, not just something in the ether that we talk about. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll delve even deeper into software defined. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware US Public Sector. Today's topic is delving deeper into the concept of software defined.
Reduce costs and increase application availability with server virtualization with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware US Public Sector. So, Doug, before break, you gave a really good example of how software defined can provide benefits and what those benefits are. Let's take a step deeper. Let's pick up around storage and data centers. How do the benefits work in those two areas? Because we hear a lot about data center consolidation, and there's a big push, I think, what I'm hearing from CIOs is to move storage to the cloud. So let's talk about software defined, how they fit there.
This is a good place to talk about, okay, how does the benefits that have been accrued and achieved across the entire IT industry at the server level over the last 12, 15 years now starting to come into the environment at the storage level and then at the network level and data centers on the whole? So for storage in particular, some of the key features and capabilities are the ability to utilize lower cost storage capacity and have it behave like it's high performance storage system. And so obviously that's the ability to use a lower cost storage device in your production high performance systems, and your system still thinks it's that higher performing, higher cost kind of storage capability. So that's one component of it. That's called like virtual storage, right? Then the next piece of that is automating the what's called tiering. Tiering is nothing more than optimizing how you use your different storage options. The very, very high performance tend to be higher cost versus the lower performance and lower cost is putting the policy-driven approach into the software, which then knows where to put the storage in your new virtual storage environment so that you're optimizing the placement and the utilization of your overall storage assets and doing that in a more automated fashion. So it makes you more cost efficient because you're using lower cost storage more than you were in the past. And two, it's automating the care and feeding and moving around of the data that is being carried out in a manual way today. So it automates a lot of those feature sets and activities.
So you piqued my interest because you said that you can use lower cost storage capacity but behave like a high performance storage system. That seems like a bad infomercial in the middle of the night that we all sometimes watch. Explain that a little more, because how do you go take something that's low cost and make it high performance?
Part of the advantage of having a software driven kind of brains, if you will, within the data center as opposed to the storage level. So when you evolve the environment, much like what happened with the server environment, and move all that processing capability from the hardware level up to the software level, it gives you a lot more flexibility in terms of how you control and operate the environment on a sub-second kind of a basis. And so you don't have to utilize a specific layer that's so specialized in its use. It enables you to open up more of the assets in a broader fashion and then use software smartly so that the software can monitor, again, very, very sub-second, the performance characteristics and whether it's meeting your SLA, and at the snap of a finger can sense that if something is falling below the thresholds or outside of the norm and actually resolve that issue and no human was ever involved. Right. And so it really, you know, opens up a much more resilient, rapid response, policy driven approach to managing and operating the data center that humans using specialized environments and layers of technology could have never, you know, achieved.
And the key piece to that is automatic. That's kind of the difference we're talking about here, is that automation.
It is a very key feature and major difference between how the data centers run today and how they run in a software-defined world. And again, you're using policies that are established, you know, basically by the business or the mission owner that say, you know, we need this application to perform in this way. And then you go into the software-defined layer and you define that service level, right? You tell it what it is. And then the actual software monitors and manages at a much more rapid manner than was ever possible before, and can actually move things around in the environment and take advantage of unutilized resources from another piece of the infrastructure and make sure that service level is always met. And by the way, can begin to use predictive capabilities to notify you well in advance if you're going to have to add capacity, for example, or optimize in some other way. So it has even forward-looking features as well, not just about right here and now and optimizing the performance.
So Doug, we're almost out of time, but where is this heading? Because the study showed that we talked about earlier in the program that agencies are interested in software-defined. Are they heading down that path, or are they just in the exploration stage? And what's the future look like?
There's a ton of interest. Whenever I talk to a customer and this subject comes up, there is a lot of interest in software defined and the capabilities it brings. And remember, where this is all going, once the compute, the storage, and the networking layers are software defined and managed completely through software, the IT organization suddenly has the ability to manage their privately operated data centers, private clouds, if you will, their virtual private clouds, which might be provided by key contract organizations, and even public clouds, and manage them in the exact same way, so that the operational features are carried out in an automated fashion, that service levels are maintained. They're defined by the business, but maintained through the software-defined environment. And even workloads from a disaster recovery standpoint, for example, are automatically instantiated completely with the service and the data available immediately in another cloud. So the entire environment is optimized to provide the service levels and the cost efficiency that the organization, in this case the agency, needs to add value to the mission. And that's ultimately what it's all about.
What a wonderful world that would be. But that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I was speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic was delving deeper into the concept of software defined. To hear this show in its entirety and others just like it on topics such as cloud brokerage and innovating in the cloud, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.